I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
All right, welcome. Appreciate you being here. Guess who's in studio? Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale. How are you, sir?
In the house.
Yeah, good day. Oh, let's see. Is that working?
Am I live? There we go.
You are. Now
people could usually hear my voice even without a microphone.
Well, that's projection, right?
Yeah.
And that's excitement, too, yeah. We're going to talk about this energy tour because I hit on it. Stillwater, Yellowtail Dam, CHS Refinery. You're going to catch a broad base of our energy specter here in Montana.
Absolutely.
But you're kind of excited about a second grandchild.
Yes. Talk about excitement. Last Wednesday, 4:30 a.m. in Great Falls, Bernadette Rosendale arrived. So now I've got three women in my life. I've got Bernadette, her older sister Veronica, and my wife Jean.
Yeah.
And I will spoil all of them.
Good. What's the perspective of moving into this transition into like grandfatherhood?
I love it. I honestly, my boys now are 35, 36, and 37. So we had a frat house for quite some time.
I love that too.
And my wife is just thrilled to be able to start going out and buying some frilly dresses and stuff like that and have someone else in the house that she can relate to. But I enjoyed every phase that my boys went through. I enjoyed when they were toddlers. I enjoyed reading. I read to my boys every single night until they were probably, I bet you, 8, 9, and 10. Every single night. That was the routine, you know, slow down, get ready for bed. I might have to go back out and work, you know, after that. But I read to the boys every night. And then as they grew a little bit older and I was able to go hunting and fishing and skiing and, you know, teach them how to drive, I did and do still enjoy my family more than anything.
Yep, me too. It's nobody I'd rather spend time with than those members. What perspective then? I mean, it's natural, but now you're sitting congressman,
right?
And you know, you're not new at it. No. What does being a father? What does being a grandfather? What kind of perspective does that give our lawmakers in Congress?
So it really, we hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm doing this work for my children and grandchildren. And I'm telling you, Tom, when I see the national debt now sitting at $33 trillion and I see some of the cultural problems that we are facing, it scares me a bit. And I look at these beautiful, innocent children, and I think, you know, it's my job to make sure that I get our country on the right path. Timidity and half measures are not going to cut it. We have to be fierce supporters of our Constitution and the things that we believe in, because if you allow the very, very vocal minority to shut you down, then our country's in a bad spot.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of work to kind of catch up on, too. And looking at energy, I know we got a break here in like 30 seconds, but why don't you tease what you're doing here with energy in that time?
So this is actually my third energy tour. I did my first one when I was in the Montana legislature in 2012. It was highly successful, and now this is my second one in the House of Representatives. I have two members from Congress, Andy Biggs and Eli Crane, both from Arizona. They're going to be attending with me, and it's to highlight the energy that we produce here and how well we do it and the necessity of it.
That sets the stage. We're back with more. It's Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale on Voices of Montana. Back in a bit.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Welcome back. Good to have you joining us here again. It's 866-627-5483. Or you can text us here at 781-627-5483. Got a couple of calls already online here, so stand by. We'll go to Skip and Hamilton and Megan from Columbus shortly. In studio, Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale serves the House of Representatives and the people of Montana in that regard. And thanks for being here. We teed up this energy conversation a little bit. You're going to visit these mines. Talking to these officials, you're talking to the public about energy. I've been really concerned that we are, you know, very aggressively going in a direction that's not sustainable. Right. I'm hoping that more and more of the public is catching on to the agenda here. What's your take on it all?
Sustainable, right? So the left is always talking about what is sustainable and what is not. Well, I can tell you, if you're putting wind farms up and they have 40% reliability, and you're putting solar farms up and they have 18% reliability, there's a big gap that needs to be filled with other energy sources. And we have them here in our country, and no one produces them safer, cleaner, more environmentally sound, and with better labor standards than what we do right here. So if the left really believed, okay, what they were preaching to us, Tom, yes, they would demand that it was done here. So I've got, again, this is my third energy tour that I've done. I've got two strong representative Freedom Caucus members, Eli Crane and Andy Biggs, are joining me, and we're going to a coal strip so that they can see exactly what a mine-to-mouth operation looks like. Coal coming out of the ground, going to the power plant. We're going to go to the CHS refinery so that they can see the crude oil being refined. We're going to go to the hydro facility, Yellowtail Dam. 90,000 dams in this country. Only 2,900 of them are producing hydroelectricity. What a lost ability to produce electricity right there. I mean, it's just lost. And really? Then we're going to go to Stillwater, to the palladium platinum mine. That is the only palladium platinum mine in the country. However, like many of the critical elements we have, it's not the only place in the country we have these elements. But it's the only one that we've been able to get permitted to produce. And again, when you go out and see the way that we are producing these resources, and the way that we reclaim the ground thereafter, and the safety records that these firms have, that it should be demanded that we are doing this here. The ESG standards that this administration has put forward is driving the cost of energy up. Not just because of the additional regulations that they're putting on, but they're choking out financial institutions from investing in these other types of energy. Meanwhile, anybody who supports the Green New Deal or the fight against climate change, you know, going to be the war on climate change, they are prospering dramatically from the taxpayers, because it's all heavily subsidized from the taxpayers across the country.
The ESG standards. Now, this is and something that had come to my attention a while ago, and it bothers me because they are limiting environmental, social, and governance. These are some standards that companies have applied on themselves in financing. And so I've seen articles and I've seen action from, like, one of them, BlackRock, a big financer, uh-huh, where they have restricted or limited or denied funding for American energy companies because of ESG standards. But at the same time, turn around and fund those companies in China, just completely ignoring ESG standards.
Exactly. You know, you claim that you're making batteries in China, and all of a sudden you're able to get funding. Meanwhile, you're using slave labor and destroying the environment by digging up lithium. It is hypocrisy at its highest level. And so that's why I go in time and time again in the Natural Resource Committee and say, if you truly believe this, then you would be demanding these things were done here. The folks that are promoting ESG standards and standing on the front line of fighting climate change are profiteers, is what they are. They're getting trillions of dollars from taxpayers across this country to line their own pockets.
I want to talk a couple of things here. Stand by, Skip. We'll get to your question. I know it relates to energy, but I want to be able to at least mention the fact that you have, when it comes to our continuing resolutions, and you have long said that we need to get back to the regular order of process.
Absolutely.
You're seeing this next funding term, again, kind of overlooking that open process, and you've noted
We fought very hard back in January to change the rules and restore regular order to Congress. And yes, to have new leadership, because you can't have the same people implementing the same rules and think you're going to have anything different. And so we have seen over the course of this last 9 months, we've tried to bring the appropriation bills forward. Leadership has not made the time available for the committees to focus their attention on those appropriation bills. And now we're hearing the same discussions about a continuing resolution, which is going to lead to an omnibus bill that would be put together by Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, and I will not support that. Tom, it's this simple. A continuing resolution. So that would continue the spending at the levels that the Biden administration put forth over the last 2 years, that I voted against, for policies that they put forward over the last 2 years that I voted against. So why would I right now vote to extend that spending and those policies? They are wrong. We are supposed to have the appropriation, 12 appropriation bills put forward, and I will take whatever time and effort is necessary. Now we started hearing Speaker McCarthy come out and say, well, you're going to, you know, close down government and we won't be able to have this impeachment inquiry. Because now, finally, I'm going to start looking into all the bad dealings of Joe and Hunter Biden and the bribes that they've taken from across the country. That is a shiny object that they're trying to use to keep us from getting our work done. And here's the deal. When something needs to get done in Washington, it gets done.
Swampiest thing. It's one of the swampiest things, I think, is not letting people be a part, our representatives, you be a part of this budget process. And again, look at our deficit. It's really hurting now. Let's go to the phones. 866-627-5483. Text us here at 781-627-5483. Just a short visit today. Skip in Hamilton, KLYQ. Good morning. You're on with Congressman Matt Rosendale.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Hey, good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Skip.
Sir, I got to tell you, the last few minutes, it was like an interactive lecture hall, and I have never personally heard you make such a dynamic, I'll say, dissertation about what's really going on, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, really.
It was good. Yeah, I got to watch it. It was good.
I was fact-filled, and so the bigger picture, state of Montana, what is our contribution to the U.S. market of products, coal, oil products, and jobs that we're producing? And most importantly, the first day in office, Dick Scully, I believe, canceled the pipeline. Is there any way that can possibly come back to us in the future? And I'll just leave it to you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Skip. Okay. Thank you, Skip. Thank you so much. I'm going to go with the last question first. The pipeline, I do not see it being reinitiated again. They literally have dismantled a lot of the pumping stations. They pulled pipe out of the ground. And you are 100% correct. On day one, Biden passed an executive order to rescind that. That, though, brings us to a larger problem. Executive orders. Executive orders should not be utilized by Republicans or Democrat presidents. The Congress makes law. And when you pass something and put something in place by an executive order, then it can be undone by an executive order. But that one was an expensive executive order. It cost the state of Montana somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 million a year of tax revenue through some of the poorest counties in the state, and access to about 850,000 barrels a day of crude oil that were going to be partially domestic, about 100, 150,000 barrels a day, North Dakota, Montana oil, and the balance of it was going to come from Canada. How much does Montana contribute to the energy sector? That I don't have the number on, but here's the simple answer is, not as much as we could.
Yeah.
If Biden were to get out of the way, if these ESG standards were out of the way, if the agency stopped using rules to go around what the statute actually says and allowed us to develop our resources in the fashion with which we know how to do, and that the public wants, we're down about 2 million barrels a day of crude oil production here domestically. And that is a direct result of the actions that the Biden administration has taken, and it contributes dramatically to the inflation, the high inflation, because energy costs contributes to everything, every product, right? So it's contributing to the inflation costs, and it's hitting those on the lower end of the income scale the hardest, whether it's to put gas in their car to get to work or to try and keep their home heated in the wintertime. So it's wrong, and there's a lot of people that are, again, profiting off of Biden's new Green Deal and climate change and ESG, but there's a lot of people across the nation that are suffering from it.
Congressman Matt Rosendale in studio. I got to take a break. We'll come on back. Megan, you've been standing by. Keep standing by. We'll get to your comment here in just a little bit. And Lisa, if we have a opportunity as well. Montana's Matt Rosendale in studio. And it's Voices of Montana at 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Beaverhead County Commissioner Mike McGinley will be on the program tomorrow. We'll talk about their request from the Attorney General's office to clarify property taxes and the school mills. Are they locked in or do they float? Well, it does take some understanding, so we'll get into that tomorrow. Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale here as we finish up for a Monday. Thank you for joining us. Megan is listening in Columbus, KGHL territory, 790 AM. And good morning, Megan. Thanks for listening to Voices. And Congressman Rosendale.
Hi. Hello. Hi, Congressman Rosendale.
Good morning.
This is sort of off topic, but I saw last week there were a bunch of Republicans that came out against Tim Sheehy because he's making a ton of money off of the government. I don't know. That seems wrong to me. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, I saw a statement that 39 of the state legislators had sent out encouraging me to challenge John Tester, supporting me because of the work that I've done in Congress so far, including the Speaker of the Montana House and the President of the Montana Senate. And what I will tell you is that it's humbling to have so many of the leaders within the state come out and encourage me to challenge John. I think folks have known for quite some time, unfortunately, that John no longer represents Montana. He's spent too much time in Washington, and he is not representing our values, our core values, and the things that are important to us. And I've said I'm certain he will be replaced in 24. And my wife and I are having serious discussions about that, and I'm carefully considering all my options with my family and through prayer to make a decision about how I can best serve the community next going forward.
Megan, I appreciate that. Are you encouraging this gentleman to get in the race?
I was wondering more specifically about the making money off of the government.
I'll have to look into that. I mean, that just kind of sits out there without context behind it. It's hard to further explain that, but let me pick up off of that question. And, sir, you're obviously going to put some thought into this, and you have because it's not a small decision in your life. Is there a deadline or have you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's March the 11th. That's when the filing deadline is for the Secretary of State's
office.
So
you better hurry up then, okay?
Yeah. So I think that we've got plenty of time to be considering this.
Well, it's actually kind of fun to, and there's a lot to consider, but I think races get started way too early. I think there's almost there's a lot of money focused in politics. I don't know that we're doing it right. I'd like to see that whole season shorten up a little bit.
Yeah. I do my job. What I found is that if you do your job, okay, and you're committed and you're sincere about the work that you're doing, then people will look at that. They will look at your body of work and say, Is this somebody that I trust? Is this someone that I support and somebody that I think could be more effective for us in a different location? Look, in 2010, I was riding horses and chasing cows around. Okay. That's how I spent
my
days.
It's not a bad life.
It's so not a bad life. Yeah. Cows don't talk back. They can break anything, but they don't talk back. And my community recruited me to run for the legislature. And I've said then, and I say it again now, I just simply want to be where I can be the most effective for my community. And community is your local town. It is your county. It is your state. It is your nation. And so I just try and do my job.
There's a request here, Lisa. We don't have enough time for it. Maybe you do. Pop her on real quick. Lisa, you wanted to talk about, you're petitioning for some infrastructure money in eastern Montana. Is this a specific proposal?
Well, we are in Matt Rosendale's district in Miles City, eastern Montana. And you're talking all about this morning, the most important thing to all of us out here is the road infrastructure, because it's all gravel roads. And we have fire season, so we need maintenance of the road, and then the trees around the road to so that we can get out if there's a fire.
Okay,
so
Lisa.
Any grant money out there, we'll take it.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. She just wanted to get a message to you.
Sure. And now they call it the August recess, but literally I've been on the ground and visiting with county commissioners, sheriffs, schools, and businesses across the state since I hit the ground August 1st. And we talk about those things and how the feds and the state can work together to make sure that the infrastructure is in place.
Only way to do the job. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
God bless you all. Thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.